That's a good thing. I know I did. I thought this year was kind of, well, the Shamblin family always had their Thanksgiving, so just a few years ago, they kind of invited Sharon and me, and of course, and when we started, Roger was still living, and Randy and Roger's mom, dad, and we all started having our combined family Thanksgiving together. But down the road, we've lost three of them. But I was thinking the other day, there's been five. Tanya has three grandchildren. Randy has two. Since we lost the three, the five has been added. So it just all works in it. But you still, you know, it's still rough to lose ones, and you just don't get over that. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Everybody's went through it, but that's the life we're living in right now. We can escape that. All we got to do, trust in the Lord. He'll take us right out of this world, put us in one where we don't have to fool with that. Thought about Al this morning, talked about the old man. I think he mentioned it last week. He requested prayer for him. He was 96 years old, and he felt like, the way I understood it, he felt like it was no use for him to even ask to be forgiven. He thought it was, he just thought the Lord wouldn't forgive him, but he asked the Lord, didn't he? Let's pray for that family. So, anyway, anybody got a testimony right now? I'm just kind of jabbering along, but you got a testimony? Why, right now would be a good time to give it. That's you, Joe. Bless you, Joe. Anyone else? I think we'll go ahead and take prayer requests, have a prayer before we get started any further, and I'm sure if you you got a prayer request, right now be a good time to give it.
Remember Teresa and Jerry? They get the room this afternoon to go back to Michigan. Right now they're having a winter storm up there, and they have about 20 inches of snow that they're going home to. So just remember them, that they have safe travels.
And if you do remember Brian, he called before he left for Park Watchman, and they had been an accident on the road. He had sat in the traffic. They just burned him off the road, but he said that it was like a fog, and it was bad. So remember him. And I think he said about an hour in stopped traffic. And Natalie should be home by now. I talked with her. We follow each other on the phone with our masks. I can see right where she's at and stuff. It's kind of, technology's kind of good in that way. I can watch her get out of her gas station or whatever. But then tomorrow morning, my granddaughter will be headed down to back to Florida for college, so remember her. And I know a lot of people got people on the road, and you remember them all.
Bring my Aaron tonight. He'll be bringing the message here in a little bit, and let's pray for him and God send him the word that would be needed. Larry, when you going to have some more tests done or something? I hear you say that this morning. Okay, let's remember Larry and Connie on that.
Thank you. Remember my friend Missy who's going through chemo for breast cancer, and we also got a second opinion where Jamie's thyroid is concerned, and they are going to remove the entire thyroid. So we're waiting for surgery to be scheduled for that. So just remember Jamie. Okay.
Anyone have any unspoken requests? Anyone wants to come up front, pray, or pray right wherever you're at. Thank you. somebody has got a testimony anytime during the service, why, just step right up and let's just let the Lord take over. So the choir will sing two or three songs and just pray for them.
I look heavenly. right, it's December.
Get your hymnal turned to 305. Let's sing a Christmas song, okay? 305.
Don't go down.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep.
Tell Rob tonight, but he's not here, but y'all can tell him I said it. If Chris is not here and other piano players, we got Robbie now. So we'll tell him that. Aaron will tell you what I've been talking about that here after a while, sometime. Glad you and Susie are back. Anyone have anything? Well, Aaron, I'm going to turn it over to you. Eli, would you pray for Aaron as he comes and bring the message?
Lord, thanks for this day, and thanks for Aaron coming up and receiving this message, Lord. And just be with me for this message, and hopefully it's a good service. Amen.
Amen.
All hearts free. I asked Scott to step in for me tonight, and I don't know whether he's made a final decision or not. What do you say, Scott? I'm going to be reading from 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. I'll give you a little update. This morning we went to Canal Tumau Tabernacle, and the bells rang and did a wonderful job. And we left the church, there were tears, people were rejoicing. It was just, and David told me, David Taylor is the pastor there, and he told Susie afterwards, he said, this is just what our church needed today. And they'd kind of been in a low spot, but Chris Koontz's name come up. And then I realized why they were in a low spot. Now they're looking forward for Chris and them coming on New Year's Eve singing, and they sang for their revival. And then another name came up, and that was J.T. Koontz. But that was the church that J.T. and I were saved in. And it was a privilege to go back and see everyone. But again, the Bells did a wonderful job. But here in this first letter that Paul wrote, as John wrote, I got to thinking about, and it just keeps bringing up the word fellowship throughout the whole book. And the first letter that he wrote, there were some problems going on, some false teachers being bringing up, you know, things that... So I wanted to say that, to say this, it's very important that we know the Word of God. If I say something wrong out of the book, then I need you to tell us. If Al says something, I'm sure he'd want you to tell. And Jimmy and Rob, we want to give you the correct word. But John starts out in this letter, and also in the Gospel of John, he starts out talking about the Word. And he wasn't talking about the Scripture. Anybody know who he was talking about? Jesus. He was talking about Jesus. In St. John, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And so Christ was in the beginning. He was with God. And then it goes on to say there was nothing made that was made that he didn't have a hand in. But here in this scripture, in the letter that's written here, I want you to just listen to these first four verses to start off with. It says, that which was from the beginning. There he is talking about, he's starting off just like he did in the book of John. He said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. So you see there, he wasn't talking about so much the scripture as the fact he was talking about Christ. He said that we have seen with our eyes, we have looked upon him, we've looked upon, and our hands have handled. Now, who was John as far as one of the apostles? We talked about it a while back. He was one of the three, the inner circle. And John was known as who? The beloved one, the one that he really loved. So it says here, and we've handled. Can you imagine being John and walking with Christ and living with Christ and seeing him do miracles, actually holding on to him? But then he goes on, he calls it the word of life. And we often think, well, Christ gave people life back then. He brought them back to life. But what was he referring to here? Not just life, but eternal life. Eternal life. And that's what he had to offer for them. And that's what John is telling him. It says, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. So Jesus came to this earth from where? From his heavenly Father, from heaven. He gave up heaven for the world. Now, that's kind of we often say, don't give up heaven for the world, but Christ actually did. He gave up heaven to come down here to walk among us, and his life was manifested. What kind of home did Jesus have when he walked on earth? He lived with Joseph and Mary, but he actually didn't have a home, did he? He never had a home. And what was it he said? The foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. He gave up everything for us. And sometimes, you know, we don't give up a whole lot. We're selfish people. We want to go where we want to go. We want to do what we want to do. But here, he left heaven for us. It says, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. Fellowship is, I looked it up, and it says it's like bonding or joining together. And I thought of that service this morning. A lot of people didn't know a lot of people, but there was fellowship there because the Holy Spirit was there and God was directing. And I thought, you know, a lot of times we come to church and we say, why am I going to church? We ought to be coming to church for fellowship. Fellowship not only with one another, but fellowship with Christ, with God. Why did God make man? He wanted someone he could share with. He wanted someone he could fellowship with. And when we come into services and the Holy Spirit's moving from heart to heart, you can feel the fellowship picking up. A lot of times we think it's well because so-and-so minded the Lord, and it's true, that's a reason for it. But the fellowship comes when we come together in one mind and one accord, and God is able to move in the midst. And it says, and there which was seen and heard, declare we unto you, that we also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. He wanted them to understand what could make their joy in their life to be better. And what better joy is there in knowing Jesus Christ? And so many times in our lives we're searching, we get down, we get weak, whatever. But, you know, when Christ comes into our life, he wants us to have joy. And we're not always happy, are we? But we can still have that joy of Jesus in our lives. So John is writing, trying to pick this church up, trying to help him. And I thought today, you know, 10 for him, I really believe, picked that church up because they were minding the Lord. They had sacrificed, they'd gone, and they'd done to take care of, meeting that need. And then it talks here about conditions of fellowship in the next three verses. And I thought about that. It says, this then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness. God is light. A lot of times we end up in the dark. I don't like to be out in the dark when it's raining, because I can't see very well. And I thought, boy, I wish I had a light, you know, that would open up the whole way. And, of course, if I had that, people would be flashing their lights at me that my lights were too bright, so they'd be wanting me to dim my light that I couldn't see. But God is light. God is light. And in him is no darkness. So we can compare light to what? salvation, knowing the way to go, and darkness. What do we compare darkness to? Evil, to sin. And I'd mentioned this before, you know, if you're out sometime late at night, you'll see, you know, you'll drive by a place that's a beer joint or whatever it might be, and not very many lights on, and it's just, but darkness is brought about because of sin, and people don't want to be seen when they're in sin. But it says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him, if we say that we have fellowship with Christ, there shouldn't be any darkness associated with us. There shouldn't be any evil associated with us. And it goes on to say, and walk in, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So a lot of people live a lie, don't they? They try to cover up what they're doing, or, you know, stay in the darkness so they can't be seen. But if we say that we have no sin, what does the Scripture say about that? We're a liar. And it also says, all have sinned and come short. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So each day in our lives should be a day that we're glorifying God somehow, some way. What's a good example to help people know that you're a Christian? Your walk. Smile. If you smile, what do they think, Timmy? Think you're up to something, my dude. What does this world give us? It gives us reasons not to smile a lot of times. But if we always remember we have Christ, we can always remember that our joy may be full. That's why we have His Word, that to make our joy fuller. And but many people live their life a lie. They go around and, you know, you just, if they say they have fellowship with God, if they say they have fellowship with God, never go to church. Do you question that? I do sometimes, but I'm not the one who's in control. Who knows what they're going through? God does. He knows everything we go through, and He's willing to help. But listen to verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Many churches are wanting to take out the blood. What have they just done? Taken out the most important part of the Christian's life. We're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Covered by the blood. What's it say? It's Hebrews, isn't it? Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. No remission of sin. Without the shedding of blood. So, Christ died on the cross, shed His blood that we might have fellowship with Him. You say, well, that's, you know, that's going overboard to get some fellowship. It is. He did go overboard. He could have called 12 legions of angels. When Peter pulled out the sword to cut off the ear of the soldier, he could have let him just, he could have taken him out right then just by one word spoken. But he didn't. He knew he had a job to do, and his job was the shedding of His blood. He said, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. And then it goes on down, you know, it says, if we all sin, what should we do if we have sin in our life? Repent. Repent. And again, what does repent mean? 360? 180. Why do you say that, Virgil?
Well, if you do a 360, you're just like
headed back in that same direction, aren't you?
Yeah,
but the 180 is going the opposite way. And that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to turn from our sins. And the, it's a witness. And the ones that kind of stare at you like, what? What do you know about the person? Probably don't know him, do they? Don't know what you're talking about. Those that smile and say it back, probably the majority of them know who Jesus is and know the Lord. So, no, that's fine. God bless you. Mind the Lord. Mind the Lord. The last three verses I want to read talks about if we sin. Another place in the scripture say, if we sin, we have what?
An advocate.
What does that mean, advocate? Huh? Yeah, he's your go-between, isn't it? He's the one that stands up for you. And will stand up for you when you get to heaven too. And but here it says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So who sins? All have sinned. But what do we need to do? We need to do that 180 and confess our sins and turn and go and serve the Lord. But he says he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What does he cleanse us with? Blood of the Lamb. I thought John was pretty versed on what he knew needed to be said here, because he was helping them to know you need to have a fellowship with God. If you have sin in your life, chances are that fellowship is going to be, what is it you say when something's not just like it should be? Huh? Broke. Yeah, it's just that fellowship is not coming easy because of the sin that's in our lives. But then he goes on to say, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. God will never, never say no when you come and ask for forgiveness. If you come with what kind of heart? Broken and a contrite heart. One that's really concerned. God will step in and take it. So I say this to the church because, you know, We make mistakes. We sin. Probably what is the biggest sin that Christians have? Starts with an O. Omission. What does that mean? Not leaving it out, right? Leaving out what he's told us to do. So when we do that, we should go immediately and ask for forgiveness. And look for another opportunity to present your witness to someone. Go to Walmart and tell them God bless you. There's nothing wrong with that. The world needs to hear it. The world needs to hear it. And it goes on to say, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. What is his word? What did John say his word was? It was actually Jesus. Jesus is the word. And what did Jesus say? I am the truth and the life. And he went on a little bit further and said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me, but by Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people in the world looking for something, looking for some way. And we can tell them there's only one way, and that's in Jesus Christ. If you're here tonight and you have a need in your life, maybe you have something you need to confess. I don't need to know it. Pastor Al doesn't need to know it. No one else in here needs to know it because it's between you and the Lord. But you bring it to him, and he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins. So a lot of people won't come to the Lord because they say, I've done too much wrong. But the fellow you talked to, he didn't think he had done anything wrong. But what had he done wrong? He had left out Jesus in his life. And we need to tell the world that, you know, you can search and seek from now on, but the greatest thing you need in your life is Jesus Christ. You can take this first chapter here and just show them that they can have fellowship with God if they'll come to him and ask for forgiveness. Let's all stand as we will. And if you will, if you have a need, you come and bring it to the Lord.
Page 111. 111. Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will in the light of his glory and grace. His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to
share before we leave.